This is Choose to be Curious, a show all about curiosity. We talk about research and theory, but mostly it's conversations about how curiosity shows up in work and life. I'm your host, Lynn Borton. Welcome. Come, choose to be curious with us. My very first guest, nearly 10 years ago, was teacher and self-described brain coach, Michaela Pond. We talked about curiosity and learning, and the impact her beloved teacher, Krista McAuliffe, and the Challenger disaster had on Michaela's life. Not long after that conversation, things took a turn when, following the first election of Donald Trump, Michaela emerged as a formidable community organizer. I asked her to come back and reflect on curiosity and the work of fighting authoritarianism and learning from loss. So here's what I have in mind.
Okay.
I wanted to build off of some of the work of Erica Chenoweth and the 3.5%, but also like the building blocks that she says of, you know, here's what you need is this mass participation and momentum, shifts in loyalty, resilience under repression, and finally innovation in tactics. And I wonder how that sounds to you as a frame for sort of the way you've been seeing or leveraging curiosity in those buckets. Mm-hmm. But I also wanted to start with a reflection on the context now with the murders of Renee Good and Alex Preddy and the 40th anniversary of the Challenger disaster. That has a place in this story that I would like to go to if you're game.
Of course. I woke up yesterday morning. Mm-hmm. I was like, there's something here. There's some parallels that are going on. And I just really, in my heart of hearts, these tragedies have to mean something. We can't just, it happens and we move on. Like, no, that these people were in moments of history, and I know Krista didn't set out to be this hero that she's become, and we schools named after her and statues in our hometown now, and she would be, I think, almost embarrassed that all of this has happened, because she was just a very curious person wanting to go to space and have the ultimate field trip, right? And here we are 40 years later, and it's... wow, it's almost so sad she doesn't know what an impact she's made. Mm-hmm. But I did wake up thinking somebody saw Alex Preddy as the ICU nurse. There's that video where he's, mm-hmm. you know, saying those lovely words to the vet who had passed, and the empathy and the caring that nurses have, and then that video seeing him shelter that woman. Like, who does that? Mm-hmm. Who does that? Nurses.
Right.
People who care about other people. And the courage that took in that moment. And not, he wasn't thinking about being shot, executed. He was thinking of others. And we get to that 3.5% when more people start thinking of others,
right,
instead of self.
Right.
Yeah.
I wanted to start there because I think that's so much a part of the story. And then just talk about these ways that curiosity shows up. And I'm wondering, like, as you thought about this, what are the things that you would like to talk about?
The things that are important to me is what next?
Yeah.
What does Michaela Pond, retired public educator, community organizer, do next? The question I get all the time is, what can we do? What are we not doing? What's next? Mm-hmm. And I think the protesting is exhausting, and they're feeling like making science, it's not working, it's performative. And I go to bed at night and I never know what the next day is going to bring, because mm-hmm. every day there's something horrible, right. and it's like this whack-a-mole. And so you're trying to take care of your organization where people are hurting and they're looking for ways to help and action. But at the same time, now there feels like a risk, which is by design to make us scared. And then I go back to some of these heroes and I think, what would they do? If we start thinking about all the horrible things that could happen, then we're stuck in cement. We're not moving anywhere. We're not going forward, and they win.
Yeah.
And that's not an option. Democracy is, it's not perfect. It every day we have to work towards what we want. We have to be loud. We have to be thoughtful, and we have to be curious about others that are on this journey with us.
Yeah.
The amount of knowledge I've learned in the last 2 years, I'm embarrassed by what I was not taught in school. Like, there are things I was just like, I never knew this. And even, to be honest, I'm thinking about the conversations that are happening in spaces that I've never been invited to be in those spaces. Mm-hmm. And now I am being invited to be in these spaces. Like, I'm the expert on action. I'm like, I don't know how that happened. You know, it's because I can take 30 first graders to the Air and Space Museum. I guess that taught me a lot. If you can do that, you can do
but
anything.
It did teach you a lot.
Yeah, I guess.
No, I think it did. I mean, part of what I see you doing is transferring learning.
Yeah.
I mean, throughout your life, you know, you learned how to help people process grief.
Yeah.
You learned how to get people to embrace joy. You learned how to help people find their best selves and figure out, what's my best and highest use now? I mean, that feels like what this is.
Well, it's evolving. Mm-hmm. We have action started, oh, I can't believe this is our 10th year. Where we started and where we are. And what's wonderful is, you know, I think we are always looking to experts and government officials, and our organization kind of has turned it on its head. Mm-hmm. We're not looking to our government officials and experts. We are just looking at our neighbors and having these intimate conversations of, you know, what do you care about? And what is the problem, and how can we as an organization support you in this moment? And I continue to learn, and I appreciate my friends who have had some hard conversations, courageous conversations with me. What about Breonna Taylor? Mm-hmm. We were shooting people.
We've been shooting people for a very long time.
Very long time. And two things about that, right? Again, I appreciate that we've created a space in WOFA that we can talk to one another civilly and say, ouch, that didn't make me feel so great. You mm-hmm. need to acknowledge that this has been happening in this country mm-hmm. for years. And it was like, wow, you're right. Thank you. Thank you for... Mm-hmm. sharing a very painful part of our history that I wasn't thinking or connecting. And of course, yeah, you're right. So let's not forget about all of those people who also have made a difference in how we police our communities. I mean, the Black Lives Matter movement, so powerful to bring awareness. Mm-hmm. that this is happening, and racism and all of those things.
Just watching the Free DC movement over the last year, what a smart, time-proven, weathered set of strategies in a way that I hadn't fully appreciated until I started paying more attention.
What would you say brought you to this work? Like, where were you on the spectrum? Not to disclose too much, but I see you on those bridges. You know,
And I've been on those bridges for a very long
time. Yes, you have.
When there was like three of us on those bridges. And now there's like 30 of us so simultaneously exciting. On multiple bridges at a time, multiple days of the week. I mean, I think you look around and you think, this is not the world I want to live in. It's not the world that I want to leave for my children and grandchildren or anybody else's children and grandchildren
right.
to live in. And this is where the curiosity is like, well, what can I do? And what don't I know?
Right.
You know, I think a lot of this is a very hard but very needed process of getting curious about things that we didn't know, things that we've been managed to not see, however much right in front of our eyes they were. And this is why I wanted to have the conversation with you, because I think like curiosity is part of the courage of the moment.
Right.
And the first question is, well, what could I do?
Right.
Well, okay, then keep asking questions. Could I do this? Could I do something more? What are you doing? How would I feel about that? I always talk about curiosity as the on-ramp. I feel like it's the on-ramp.
So it's interesting. I had a few notes about that, and a lot of it becomes curiosity turns collaboration mm-hmm. into community.
Mm.
I feel what do I not know, right? Mm-hmm. Leads you down to, well, let's answer these questions. Let's find out. And what do I value? And I wake up some days not understanding where some people in the movement are coming from. Mm-hmm. We have a big tent and we're dealing with a lot of alpha uh-huh. folks in this uh-huh. space. Everybody has an opinion. Mm-hmm. Everybody's coming from a different place. And instead of being irritated by everybody wanting to have an opinion, I became curious. Why are you coming at it from this way? What happened in your life that made you react in this way or not do anything? That has been kind of a... Once I flipped it and became curious about my fellow activists, I was less annoyed and more inspired.
Mm.
Like, oh, you feel so strongly about gun violence because somebody in your family was a victim of gun violence. And so you won't stop until we have no guns in the world. Okay. You know, I understand your passion now. And instead of judging and assuming, oh my gosh, assumptions get us in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
I think the collaboration piece is so important. And if you're not curious about your fellow activists, then you're not going to move that needle.
You're listening to Choose to be Curious. I'm your host, Lynn Borton, and I'm talking with community organizer Michaela Pond.
To take it to the next step, too, it's like not necessarily your allied fellow activist, but there are people who have really different opinions. Really. I look at one thing, they see something. I mean, it's just... And this is... I struggle with this, right? I struggle mightily with this, but I also understand that unless I am curious in the same way about why they feel the way that they do, that is so diametrically opposed to how I might feel, we're never going to figure out a way around or through.
Right.
You ask, why did I come to this? So many, many reasons. But one of the ways that I come to this is always in trying to figure out, how do we give people an on-ramp and an off-ramp? How do we get that, you know, the whole idea about people need to switch their loyalties?
Right.
How do we make that possible for people? If all it is you're wrong, how could you ever have thought that way? That's not a curious question, right? It's like, what made you feel this way? What would make you feel something different? What would change the way you think about this? And how can I contribute to that process? That to me is a really interesting and very challenging question. I don't have those answers at all, but I think a lot about that, from everything to the messages we put on the bridges, to the assumptions that I carry with me in the day. How do I bring my curiosity to the things to me that are unthinkable?
Does WOFA have any room for them?
This is what I mean.
And I'm like, I don't know.
This
like,
is what
of course
I mean.
We'll take anybody, but like,
but how?
How?
Right?
How do we let people know? Like, okay.
That might be the next and best, highest use of curiosity in the movement right now.
How do we embrace?
How do we give people a way to say, I didn't vote for this, and I'm willing to separate myself from a lot of things that I've identified myself with, my community? I mean, we're asking a lot of people to walk away from that.
Yeah.
How do we clear that path?
I think we might need to have a meeting that says, come hear what we're about. And if you agree with basic human decency, how we treat people, you're welcome. We'd love to have you in our group. And it goes back to everybody can do something, but to say, to not forgive. And I'm a Scorpio. I don't know if you know about Scorpios. Like, we are so loyal, but if you cross us, you're done. And so I'm struggling with this personally. I am. I have family members that I have unfriended on Facebook. And my mom would be so upset with me if she knew that I was like feeling this way, because family is family. And I'm like, you know, sometimes family can be destructive. And I can't at this moment be listening to some of the rhetoric that they're posting. And so, yeah, I unfriend you on Facebook. I'll still see you at Thanksgiving and we will avoid talking about it. And then I'm like, well, no, wait a second. I don't want to avoid talking about it because this matters.
Yeah.
I need to know why my aunt feels this certain way. Like, talk to me, explain it to me. Like, because I don't get it. I don't get it. Let's figure out how we can get to that 3.5%, because it's going to take more than.
It's going to take more than what we're doing, but what we're doing is already more than what we were doing.
True.
And I do feel like, you know, to the Erica Chenoweth stuff, I mean, there's this innovation of approaches, and people are, you know, I'm finding that people singing in the streets, you know, they resonate at some cellular level. And I just think that the advantage of having more and more people involved is more and more people come and they're like, I have this thing. It's like stone soup, right?
I love it.
I have this other thing I can put into it.
Right.
And pretty soon we have this amazing hot soup.
Right. We've been talking about our group, and when people ask, well, what is WOFA? And I feel like our secret sauce is we make it easier to participate by breaking down these big civic moments into human-sized actions. And that is so important. And the trust, because if we don't have trust, for that woman to say, what about Breonna Taylor? That took trust. Mm-hmm. She knew that she could speak that truth, and I wasn't going to slam her for her thoughts and how, you know, that takes time to build that trust. But when we're all, there's no hierarchy. I always say it's not MOFA, it's not Michaela of effing action. It's we of action. Yeah. And so if everyone feels in a safe space that they can come and say, what about this? And we've had three people start the Joyful WOFA Choir, the Visibility Brigade, the postcards, which have been unbelievable group of women and men now that are showing up every Saturday to write thousands and thousands of postcards. The craftivism, that's been my favorite. I love it. The painting of the rocks, the signs, the papier-mâché crown that we made, the Epstein file boxes that can be found in my garage. But again, people using their talent for good. And and all, I mean, we have cooks. We have people cooking to support the people that are out in the freezing cold right now. We are so lucky that we have just found people who are curious about the work we do and curious about how they can help and how they can participate. And that's the first step, right? Being curious about how I can help in this moment has created this incredible group of thoughtful, hardworking, dedicated volunteers.
Yeah, yeah. So tell us the story of WOFA.
it still makes me cry because the day after Hillary lost the election, I had to go to school on that Wednesday, and I was a teacher at a Spanish immersion school. And so half my students were white and half my students were Hispanic. And my Hispanic students weren't in class that day. Yeah. It was shocking. I kid you not. There was not a brown kid in my fifth grade class. And I remember going down to the office, like, what's happening? Where is everybody? Where are the kids? And our community liaison person kind of laughed, like, huh, how do you not know, you silly girl? They're afraid. They're not going to come to school. They're afraid. And I just in that moment, I felt so confused. I didn't understand. What do you mean they're not going to come to school? School is a safe place. We're here for them. And she said, they don't feel safe. ICE is in the neighborhoods, and a hotel down the street was being built, and there was an ICE raid. And that was 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So this has been happening for a long time. And so I remember a couple PTA moms were in the building that day, a couple teachers also concerned. We were all so upset about the election the night before. We just walked over to my house after school, and we just got a lot of wine out, and we cried, and we just said, now what? How are we here? What are we going to do? And I was a rower at Wisconsin, and we used to call ourselves WOFA, Women of Effing Action. When you row on a frozen lake and you're competing against Ivy Leagues who have beautiful indoor facilities, you don't know what's going to happen. But we were WOFA, and we were going to win because we worked hard and we put in the work. And so that kind of struck me within a week. I was like, you know what? We have to do something in our community to make our kids feel safe and our community feel safe. So W.O.F.A. was kind of founded. And then the Women's March group was forming. And then we had Indivisible was forming. And so we became an Indivisible group. And our first big action was a former student of mine. You might know him very well. Seth Coker called and said, hey, Coach Pond, this is your old fifth grade student. And I'm now a teacher up in Central Falls. And I want to bring my students to the Women's March. Any chance you could help organize a way for them to have a place to stay and feed them and march with them? And oh my gosh, Lynn, that was it. That was our first big action to support an idea. And we galvanized and we collaborated and we got those kids down and we fundraised. And it was the most amazing experience. And wow, a community came together very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
To make that happen. And the pride I felt that I had a student reach out and say, how can I do this event? And wow, that was incredible. That was incredible. And WOFA went from 21 women in my living room to now we're over 5,000 members. And we've been doing this for 10 years, which kind of sucks. I would much rather be opening my bar called the Teacher's Lounge, which was my retirement plan. I would much rather be traveling and enjoying my retirement. But this is my new job. This is my new calling. And with the 40th anniversary of the Challenger disaster, more than ever, I think about the impact of teachers. And Krista saying, I touch the future, I teach. I don't think people knew. New Hampshire, very Republican in 1986. And Krista was a Democrat. And she was head of the union in our town, the teacher union, and was advocating for higher pay for teachers. I mean, she was an original WOFA. She was doing stuff back then that took guts in a very Republican town. She led by example of, you know, don't give up on your dreams. Like, why can't a teacher be the first citizen in space?
You've been listening to Choose to Be Curious. I'm your host, Lynn Borton. Thank you for joining us here today. You can find all my shows at choosetobecurious.com. I hope you'll follow me here, there, and on Facebook, Instagram, and Blue Sky, all at Choose to Be Curious. Many, many thanks to my dear guest, Michaela Pond. Links to WOFA, my first conversation with Michaela, and a show I did with Seth and his students who returned to D.C. a year after the march, all on my website. Thanks, too, to Sean Ballack for our theme music. And this is Spunk Lit by Love and Weasel via Blue Dot Sessions. I hope you'll join us again next time. And until then, choose to be curious.
I always think a teacher perspective, right? So lessons learned along this journey. And one of the things I feel like I've learned along the way is that people don't need to be convinced to care. They already do. So what they need, though, is permission to start where they are. And curiosity gives us that permission. It lets us ask, what's mine to do, instead of why bother? And when enough people ask that question, together, democracy starts to feel less fragile and more alive, more possible.